To please God is to have peace with God. I love that. Because when I please God, as I have this peace that passes all understanding, I can recognize the next thing, that as I please God, then I have again peace with God over and over and over. And that can only come by knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul's life once left him empty and angry. Feeling hopeless, he lashed out at everyone around him and almost destroyed his entire future. To find out how putting his trust in Christ finally gave Raul peace, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD of his story, call 800-634-9165. Well, today in our continuing study of the New Testament book of Romans, Raul will share a message of hope for these uncertain times, providing assurance that no matter what you're going through, you can have peace through the mercy and grace of God. We'll see today that when we give our hearts to Christ, He'll reconcile us to God and bring peace and joy into our life. Well, let's begin today's lesson by turning in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Here's Raul Reese.
In chapter 4, if you remember, he illustrates how we are not only justified by faith, but that we need to stand. It's very hard to stand by faith because we want something tangible. We want to be able to see it. But when we come to Christ, it's something supernatural. But Paul the Apostle has been chosen here by the Lord in the book of Romans, that in this chapter 5, it marks a turning point in the book of Romans as you see it. And that turning point that Paul is not going to give to us is that now he assumes the reader to accept his argument about justification by faith. He proceeds here to spell out the implications of this new relationship of the grace of God that you and I can have in Jesus Christ. So chapter 5 through 8 is going to deal with the nature and the effects of this radical new life given to us in Jesus Christ. When he gets to chapter 8, verse 1, he says, therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice how he starts here in chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. He says, therefore, again, notice what he opens with. Therefore, having been justified by faith, justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, that's one thing that I never experienced until I came to Christ. The peace of God, being justified by faith. This peace of God that not only when we pray and we spend time with Him, whatever you've gone through, whatever you're going through, man, you need to seek the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that peace that he talks about here is that peace that he gave you, that he gave me when he hung on that cross, when he died on that cross. He died for our sins in order to give you, to give me the peace that passes all understanding. Not going to have, we have peace, the Bible says. Let me read you a couple of things that I wrote down here. First of all, the first result of our justification, again, is peace with God. What does the peace of God mean in my life? Well, first of all, one has restored his relationship with God. I restored my relationship with God. And I think that's something of importance to all of us. Secondly, no longer separated from God. I love that. No longer separated from God, but united with God. Thirdly, now we have been reconciled with God. Reconciliation. And then we have been free from the wrath of God. No longer we're going to ever experience the wrath of God. The wrath of God is for those that are living a life of sin. that never come to Jesus Christ, but they continue willfully to sin against God. And then we have, now we are pleasing God. I like that. Are you pleasing God? To please God is to have peace with God. I love that. Because when I please God, as I have this peace that passes all understanding, I can recognize the next thing, that as I please God, then I have again peace with God over and over and over. And that can only come by knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And surely you want to know that. You want to make sure your kids, your husband, the wife, whoever it is, that we not only know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but He's taken His blood and He's washed away every one of our sins, and our life is white as snow, as white as snow. Verse 2, he says, through whom, who's that? Jesus Christ. Also, we have access by faith. Into what? Into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have received now the blessings of God. So many blessings that I have received. And one of the greatest blessings that I have received from our Lord is the grace that I stand on and that I rejoice in. And the hope that I have of the glory of God in my personal life. And I wrote a couple of things. Number one, the second result of justification, again, is unmerited favor, the grace of God. Secondly, we stand in God's grace. We stand in His presence. And then as a believer, I have this hope that is based upon the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in my life every single day. As God's Spirit dwells within me, in my heart. The Holy Spirit dwelling within me in Christ Jesus. Verse 3, he says, and not only that we, Paul puts himself here, that we also glory in tribulations. What do you mean tribulations? Here, what he uses for tribulations is the trials, the sufferings. It means the pressures, the oppression, the affliction of our lives. As God is working in my life, as I call out upon His name, and I share with Him, I say, Lord, these are my trials, these are my problems. And what does He do? He says, tribulation that produces perseverance in my trials of suffering. I've experienced this goodness of God in my life, that God is good. And how I thank Him for being so good in my life. Verse 4. And perseverance in character and character hope. And that hope does not disappoint. We are not worried. Disappointed. We're not worried. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to each one of us individually. And it's so awesome that he says here, because of the love of God has been poured out to each one of us individually. Where? In our hearts. In your heart. In my heart. By who? By the Holy Spirit of God. That was given to you and was given to me. I love that. God gave me His Holy Spirit when I accepted Him. He gave me His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit keeps working in my life. And here the Holy Spirit, I wrote this down, is the agency. This is the first mention of the Holy Spirit here in the book of Romans. Write that down. And then there is that contagious experience of God's love through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit enters our hearts and lives for the very purpose of the sealing and the guarantee of my Christian life. He guarantees me eternal life. So it's so awesome to see what the scripture says. Verse 6. For we were still without strength. The word here, without strength, literally means to be weak, to be worthless, to be useless, to be hopeless, and to be powerless. So when we were still powerless in due time or in God's appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. It was God's perfect timing. When I was in the world, when I was on my way to hell, that God died at the perfect time for my sins. Christ dies for us. He has become our sacrifice. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man one would dare to die yet. Perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Christ died for those who one time not only were in the world, but those who no one would die for. Are you willing to die for someone? Jesus died for us because he loved us, because he cared for us. And maybe you're in a position today where you want to understand that Christ died for your sins and that he's carrying you by his grace, his love and mercy. And as he says here in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps a good man, someone would dare to die. Are you willing to die to self? Would you die for me? Would I die for you? That is a question mark that only can be answered by you or by me. He goes on in verse 8. But God demonstrates, and the word demonstrate here, it means to show, to prove, to exhibit. God is always showing or proving his love to who? His love for each one of us individually. He says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still yet sinners, this is in reference to a sinful man like you and I were, and sometimes we're still continuing to be sinful. He says, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God proved his love by giving up, what? His son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Imagine, he gave his only begotten son because of the love that he had for you. And then we see in verses 9 through 11, the hope future of exalting continually the benefits of being a child of God. He's going to prove his love by justification through what? Through his blood. Secondly, he proves his love by saving us from the wrath to come. He says in verse 9, much more, we're going to see that three times, much more than having not been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of his son, how much more, there it is again, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God reconciles and saves us by doing three things. Number one, God reconciles by Christ's death when he died. Secondly, Christ saved us from, notice, by Christ's life. Thirdly, God gives us joy in order for me to rejoice, in order to you to rejoice. And how beautiful it is that I can rejoice because I see what Christ has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to continue to do. And that peace that we spoke about in the beginning, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Do you have peace in your life tonight? Do you have peace? I pray that you will have peace by the time this service is over with. Verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. In the Old Testament, atonement was actually you take an animal, you killed it, and then you would take the blood and they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. It would cover your sin. But because later on Jesus Christ came and became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, his blood covered me immediately from all my sins. From all my sins. It says he was the Lamb of God that takes away your sins. Take away your sins. A shadow of things to come in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus Christ becoming real. He died for the sins of the world because he loved us. And then he says, verse 12 to 14, the ruins of mankind, he says, verse 12, he starts now to speak about Adam. Notice the first one that sinned, and then about Jesus becoming the second Adam. He says, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, going back to the garden in Genesis chapter 3, he goes on to say, Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world in death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. So it's not just me. It's not just you. The whole world is guilty before God. Sin. And sin sends you to hell. He says in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. So remember, we studied about the law of the schoolmaster. Adam had only one law. Don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. God warned him. And what did he do? He broke the law of God by eating. Secondly, he broke it by sinning against God by partaking of the tree that God told him not to partake. He says, and the law did not come until what? Until Moses, when he went up to Mount Sinai for the Ten Commandments given to him. Can you imagine? From Adam to Moses, the law had not been written. And now in the book of Exodus, the law is going to be given to Moses as he's up in Mount Sinai. And when he comes down, he has the Ten Commandments. And now the law of God has been given, which means what? That the law did not come until Moses, but death still reigned from Adam to Moses. Sin. Sin. Everybody dies. Even to the time Moses came and the law of God was given, the schoolmaster was given so that we can know exactly the heart of God. But in the New Testament, that law brought us not only to conviction, but it brought me to have faith in Jesus Christ and to receive the grace of God. The just shall live by faith, not by the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigns from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of Jesus Christ who was to come. Because of Adam, everybody became guilty. Everybody sinned. And that's why Jesus came, to take away our sins. Your sins. My sins. He says in verse 15 through 19, how Jesus came to rescue mankind. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. See, what gift? For if by one man's offense many died, how much more, there it is again, how much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. The blessing of God's grace in my life and in your life. Four things I wrote here. Number one, Adam's sin brought what? Death. We said that already. Secondly, God's gift brought righteousness. I am righteous because of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, Adam's sin brought condemnation. Paul says, Romans 8:1, therefore there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that. Fourthly, God's gift brought justification. The just shall live by faith. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through one man who sinned, Adam. For the judgment which came from one offense, Adam's sin, resulted in condemnation, but the free gift of salvation, which came from many offenses, resulted in what? In justification. How I thank God for the gift of salvation. How I thank Him. And then he says in verse 17 here, this is now the third time that Paul stresses, notice here, the contrast between Adam and Christ. He says, verse 17, for if by the one man's offense, Adam, death reigned, through one much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of God. I love that. The gift of God through righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Believers shall reign in life through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through eternity. Through eternity, you and I. No more death, no more sorrow, nothing at all but eternal life forever and ever and ever in the presence of God. Verse 18, Therefore, because of what I just told you, as through one man's Adam, offense or sin, judgment came to everybody in the world, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteousness, Jesus, act, notice, the act of free gift came to everybody, every man, resulting in justification of life. So number one, when Jesus died, he paid the penalty of what? Of sin in our stead. Secondly, he took our place. He took my place. He took your place. And thirdly, he was our representative and our substitute. For what we could not do, he did. Verse 19. For as by one man, Adam, man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, Jesus, many will be made righteous. And then verses 20 to 21, the reign of mankind, he says. The final contrast here between the law and grace. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered, or literally slipped in, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Again, he says much more. Third time he says it. So the purpose was to increase what? The law, our conscience, the wrong that we were doing, according to Galatians 3:19. But as he comes now to verse 20, the law caused men to do what? To see the great wickedness of sin. The law also, secondly, the knowledge of sin increased. Thirdly, to accept God's grace is to free one from sin, from anxiety, from those things that you can enjoy once you start enjoying the salvation that God has given to you freely. Salvation free, verse 21. So that as sin reigned or was king in death, even so God's grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
We pray that you'll feel the presence of God in your heart and life today, knowing that He loves you and has provided everything to be fully reconciled to Him. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's program again, we'll be glad to send you a complete CD copy for a donation of $5 or more. To get that, just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's lesson from Romans chapter 5. Before Raul returns, we'd like to encourage you with a book from Raul titled Servant, The Person God Uses. As you explore several biblical glimpses into the lives of early believers, you'll be encouraged to see how ordinary they were as they accomplished extraordinary things with God. You'll see that like those who've gone before you in faith, you don't need to be perfect, just willing and available to carry out the Lord's perfect will for your life. Contact us today to order Raul's book titled Servant, The Person God Uses. We'll send your copy for $10 plus shipping and handling. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Since spending time in God's Word is the best way to discover what He desires for your life, we invite you to take advantage of all of our free Somebody Loves You resources. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at noon West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program discussing current world issues from a biblical point of view. You can also experience the Bible at your convenience by downloading Raul's teachings as podcasts through Spotify and iTunes, and downloading our app to your iPhone or Android. Well, if there are new ways that we can serve you in this year that remain so uniquely challenging, please let us know. We're here for you and welcome your input as we continue to offer biblical refreshment for your mind and spirit. We'd also love the opportunity to pray for you, so share those requests when you contact us. Don't forget that Somebody Loves You Radio is made possible through the partnership of listeners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every contribution you make is tax-deductible. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more from the book of Romans. You'll see that surrendering your life to Christ isn't a one-time act, but a choice you make every day as you turn away from sinful temptations. Now, here's Roll once again with a closing comment.
In Romans 6:23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 John 1:2 says, "The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." John 10:28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Man, we are blessed. We are blessed because of Jesus Christ. What he's given you, what he's given me, and we're going to go to heaven one of these days. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he watch over you.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.